Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is I Am Unique Wright, your DIY business coach here in Studio U. Getting ready, getting set up. How is everybody today? We're going to have a great show today. We're going to be talking about planning your business and planning your launch for your business and making sure that everything goes great from start to finish for anybody who wants to start a business. Anybody who wants to start a business. They need to these are going to be the steps. 10 steps to start the business. Once we get the business side of it established, then we want to actually launch the business. And we're going to have an awesome person come on here. We're going to talk about how to launch your business and life organizer. Seeing we get this live stream edited. See if we get our live stream going. Let's see. Trying something new. But not sure it's working how I want it to. And so give a second to us guys, waiting for people to come on. Anybody who's in small business, who wants to start a small business, this is the time for you to show up, log on, and start listening. This is going to be a great show. Going to be helpful. It's going to be insightful. And we're going to learn a lot today. All right, guys. All right, so we are here live in Studio U on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, all of the above. You guys, please listen and let's get ready to learn. I am Unique Wright, your DIY business coach here sitting in Studio U talking to you today about planning your event, planning your business launch, planning your business, and making sure you have everything from start to finish to get everything started. So today we're going to start and cut into, get to straight to the point. We're going to cut into the 10 steps to open the business, just to get the business established. The 10 things you need to get your business established. One, they say you should do marketing research for your business. You should. You should see what people are doing out there in the market, what products they have, what products are similar to the ones you want to launch, what do you want to do, what products are you distributing, how are you going to distribute them, what are those things that you need to put out there, what are those things that you want to put out there to start your business and leverage your business. How are you going to be different than your competitor? What is your competitor doing, and how can you be better than them? So these are the things that you need to know in starting your business, like what's out there already. When, I mean, anything can be redone, anything can be rebuilt, but what are you going to do different? So that is kind of like your marketing research on how are you going to be a little bit different than everybody else, okay? The next thing is write that business plan out. Now, this is not no in-depth business plan where you got to think about everything that you're going to do in places, but you do need a plan of action on how you're going to do it. If you are creating a product, you need a plan on how you're going to create a product. You need to create your recipes. You need to do it. If you're going to open a food truck, you need to have a plan on, okay, I need this and this in my food truck. I need to have this amount of meat. What is all this going to cost me? What are those things you need to plan out? What is my budget for marketing? Where am I going to be setting up? So that is your plan, your business plan. So have that plan out there for you to grow your business. The next thing is this is the most basic, biggest part about small businesses and the problems why most small businesses fail is funding. How are you going to fund your business? What are you going to do? What does your personal credit look like in that process before you get your business credit established? What is, you know, what are you going to do to is how you're going to, how are you going to establish your business credit? How are you going to get funding? How are you going to have the money? Do you have a 401k you're going to pull out of? Do you have a savings you're going to pull out of? Are you going to still work your job while you're starting this business? Do you have a, you know, a significant other that's going to take care of the major bills while you're handling the business side of it? How are you really going to plan this out? This is why relationships fail, businesses fail, everything fails, because someone wants to jump in and say, oh, yeah, someone started a business. You're going to take care of all the bills, and I'm just going to put all the extra money into the business. Now, the one who's taking care of all the bills is like, whoa, 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 this is costing way too much money. How am I going to be doing this? So if you don't have a budget or a plan out there on what you need and an objective on how you're planning to move in your business, this is going to make your business extremely frustrating and hard to maintain, okay? So make sure you have a plan in your business. Make sure you have know how you're going to get funding. Work on, before you even start opening a business, let's look at it like this. It's like buying a house. If you ever bought a house, you had to have a down payment. You need to have a down payment for that business, $5,000, $10,000, $3,000. Yeah, they say you can start a business for $300. Yes, you can if you're not selling anything tangible, if you're not doing a storefront, and if you can't even start you can create your own website, but then not just start off website. So at the end of the day, you need to make sure you are building a business that and you have the funding to handle your business and launch your business how you want to do it. When with today's guest room, she's going to be an event planner. She's going to tell you how you can launch your business either virtually or online or however you want to launch, but you still need some money for marketing to launch. Even if it's a drip campaign, the click funnels, somebody has, if you don't know how to build out a funnel page, what are you going to do? So you need to have some kind of business funding coming into the thing. Number four, what is your location? Now, everybody's like, oh my God, a location. Okay, one, you could have a physical location. To me, if you're just starting out, if you don't need a physical location, then don't get a physical location. You know, do things online. I mean, the only people that really need a physical location in the beginning of starting their business is maybe a restaurant, and I would prefer you do a food truck, so it's at least your own and it's less investment, or unless you just have that capital and have that experience on how to run your business, then you can do a storefront or a boutique. I mean, all of that sounds fun, but you have to understand that having a storefront is another house. And if you can't afford two houses right now, you can't afford to have a storefront in your business. So you're talking about lights, water, cable, supplies, staffing, cash register, extra cash on hand, setup, decorations. You got to build the thing out. You can't just have a storefront with nothing in it. Like racks, you got to buy racks. You got to buy equipment. You got to buy tables. You got to have some staff. So when you're thinking of a storefront, that is a big cost. A storefront, I don't care how cheap you think you can do it, but $10,000 is about what it's going to cost you to create a storefront, to have a storefront where you are successful, where it looks nice, where people want to come, where you have enough inventory to supply the people and what they're doing. So having a storefront is superior. It's going to take you some money. So if you do not have a budget or know how to get funding or have good credit to get funding, you know, let's stick to online virtual vendoring kind of storefront or businesses at this point until you get up to that businesses. I tell people it's never a problem to start small. Start with the online business. Start with vending at different events and use that money to save up so that you can actually make or have the extra capital to have a storefront, you know. But again, if you have the capital, then that's not who I'm talking to. I'm talking to the ones who are starting from zero, who might have quit their job or don't have a job or was coming from unemployment right now and have a business they want to start. You trying to go into a storefront, it's not going to be easy. Plus, going in the storefront, they're going to want collateral. They're going to want backgrounds. They're going to want to know how much money you made last year. And if you're just starting off, the likelihood of them actually getting into a decent building that doesn't look like a shack is very slim to none. Very, very hard to get into, okay, in a good location. Again, unless you have great credit. So, again, work on that credit. Your credit is the business credit until you build the business's credit. It only takes a good 90 days, 120 days to build good business credit if you're smart with it. But you have to actually do it and follow the steps. We can go about that in a different session, but those are the things. So where's your business going to be located? You know, choose your business structure. Are you going to be an LLC? Are you going to be a corporation? Are you going to be a sole proprietor? Are you going to be an S-Corp or C-Corp? What is your business structure? Are you going to have employees? Are you just going to work by yourself? That's pretty much it. What tax bracket do you want to be in? How do you want to excel? I tell all my people right now, if you want to start a business, if you want to start a small business, make sure you go straight to corporation. You know, everybody back in the day was saying, let's do LLC. Do you know how much you can leverage with funding, with building, trying to find a location, storefront, business credit if you are a corporation versus a LLC? Because now that corporation stands alone. They're going to actually just look at your big corporate bank account and what you're funneling into that bank account versus looking at your personal and your thing. So you can separate yourself. Having a corporate business or a corporate entity, a corporation, you can actually have used somebody else's credit. It does not have to be your credit. When you have an LLC, they're looking at you solely. So you can bring a shareholder or a CFO onto your team and use their credit, use their business. So then you have a teamwork and they're not actually your full partner of your business. You know what I mean? When you're an LLC, it's more of limited partnership, limited liability. So both of you guys are liable in the same aspect. If you have a corporation, you can bring somebody on, hire them. If you want to use their credit or they're willing to use their credit, you give them a couple shares of the company. They're really not a part of the company. They're just a shareholder of the company, and they are still investing into the company, which makes you better. Then you can have as many shareholders as you want to. Of course, you have a shareholder meeting, but if you have the majority of the shares in your business, then you make the majority of the business. So you can sell 5 or 6 shares to Uncle Bob and 5 or 6 shares to Janet and 5 or 6 shares to Do, and each one of them donate $5,000 to your company or invest $5,000 in your company. That's $15K right there. Now they have that much equity into your business, and now you are you're growing as a business. And then if you have a little meeting about finances and what they spend, because everybody wants to know where they invested their money, you just talk to them and say, hey, this is where your money went. This is the budget. And it's all public information. You get creditors like you a lot better when you're a corporation versus you're an LLC. So keep that in mind. And it's only same cost the same much in most states. Costs the same exact much. It's just one more sheet of paper you have to fill out. That's it. One more sheet of paper you have to fill out. That is all it is. So make sure you are going in as a shareholder of your company or do it as a corporation. That would be my suggestion of how to structure your business. Now, before you do all of this, you need to kind of come up with a business name. Please keep the name. I like short and simple names. If you notice, all Fortune 5 companies have really simple names. Tesla, Apple, IBM, Windows. Let's see what else. T-Mobile, Sprint, Verizon. They don't have Pookie's Boutique. You know, those come up with just a name, a word that describes who you are, describe what you're doing, describes how you want to move, describe what you like, come up with a name. All of those long, drawn-out names usually don't make a great business, and it doesn't establish it because then it makes your business look urban, too urban. Sometimes it's too urban. I'm not trying to say that you can't have an urban name, but sometimes you just need to keep it simple. Like people like Edgewood Pizza. You know what I mean? It's pizza on Edgewood. Boom. Simple. And then it's the directions to the pizza place. So how can you mess up with stuff like that? Like if you're going to do something of the nature of where you at, then do it. You can have your kids' names in your business. You know what I mean? But just make it very simple. Make it simple. Make it stupid. Make sure that people, when they hear the name of your business, they know exactly what they mean. Because the more complicated you make your business name, more you have to explain your business. More you have to explain to people what you're doing, how you're moving, what you're saying. You know, so that takes more marketing, which means it takes more money. So if you're naming your business Obsolete, and what do you, it needs to be Obsolete T-shirts, Obsolete food, Obsolete, you know, fashion, Obsolete boutique, whatever it is, it needs to kind of say what it is in the name, unless you're doing a core foundation. And like my corporation is UCW Enterprises, right? That's my corporation. But underneath it is I Am Unique, right? Podcast, I Am Unique, right? Period. And Be Unique and All You Can See Moss. Like I have all of these other names under that one corporation entity. So it's not that you can't call it whatever you want to at the end of the day, but have one simple corporation that sounds corporate. That's how you're going to get your money. That's how you're going to grow your business. It's not about the visible name. It's about the corporation name. So make sure that name is very simple. It sounds powerful and strong, okay? Registering your business. Registering your business, getting your, like I said, getting go with a corporation. Get your, the next thing was getting your tax ID, you know, getting a business license if you need it, getting a vendor's license through whatever state or wherever you want to vend. Make sure you have those. Those are the most things you need to launch your business starting from the scratch. Any permits and license when you're doing your build out, those are the things that you really, really need when you are launching your business. Now, once we get all of this established and we have this basis down, we're going to break it down into like, what are the, how do you present your business? How do you present your business? Like, so then you have you going into, are we doing a storefront or are we going to do a website? Are we going to be a vendor? You know what I mean? So those are the three ways I'm going to break it down to you guys. So for your storefront people, I'm going to start with those guys. So that is your biggest thing. That is your biggest issue going into a business. That's when all the hiccups are going to come in. When you are going into a storefront, it's awesome. You can go and you look at it. You need to see how much that rent is going to cost. Is there any concession time? What is concession time? That is the time that they give you to build out your business. Sometimes it's a month, sometimes it's 90 days. Some places might give you up to 6 months to a year, depending on how bad and how much work it needs to be done of concession time. Then but the thing is, some people really don't understand about concession is that sometimes you have to pay it first and then they give it back to you. So you have to pay for all. They say, oh, yeah, I'm going to give you $100,000 for build out. But what you have to do is spend that $100,000 in building out your place, provide receipts as your construction, and then give them back within 90 days. Corporate will cut you a check for that $100,000 that you spent on that build out. So you have to have that money on escrow anyway to do the build out. You know, I mean, unless you got a whole bunch of people who's going to wait for that time frame, who's going to work with you, which really doesn't work out because then they work at their own pace. You don't want people to work at your own pace because the benefits of having concession is that you're not paying rent during this time. So if you can have 6 months worth of concession and in 30 days, 90 days, you can have your build out done, you're inventorying it the next month, then the next 4 months, 3 months, is actually free rent. You don't have to pay that rent. That's where you build up the money to pay the rent, to get into the marketing, to spend that extra money into marketing, and then you'll have a loop, a cap of how much business, how much money you can make. So you don't want to spend your whole concession time building out. Even though if they give you 6 months, you only want to take half the time for you to actually build out your location, the other half to present the cash, to make the capital that you need to pay those next couple months worth of rent. Okay? Then you need to make sure your inventory. You can't open up a storefront or a food truck or whatever without any kind of inventory. So you need to have some kind of inventory of whatever product. So as your storefront is being built out, you need to source your inventory or make your inventory or have it being manufactured. In that time, you need to have these, your inventory being manufactured so that you can have it for display. Then you need to have a visualization of how you want your storefront or your business to look. If it's a food truck, how you going to wrap it? If it's a if it's an actual store, what color are you going to put on the walls? How are you going to do the floors? Who's going to do your floors? How much plumbing do you need? How much, you know, all these beauty salons, you need to have plumbing. You need to have, you know, the worst thing to go into a beauty salon and they got 10 chairs and if they put two blow dryers on, that during electric shock, it goes zzzz, and shuts all the lights down and the main stylist runs to the back and hits the switch, hits the breaker box and it's like, oh yeah, you know, you don't do the blow dryer, go in this outlet to do the blow dryer. Why is that apartment? Why does that happen? Why? Because it was poor planning. You did not have the right sockets. You did not have the right power of electricity in your business so that you can run 5 and 6 dryers on this one stream of voltage line. So those are the things that you have to make sure you do. And think about and being in a business. Now, if you're a hairstylist or you want a boutique, you know, the best thing that's happened now is these salon suites, okay? If you are in that beauty industry or in that natural product line or clothing line, stuff like that, go into a salon suite. Go into that salon suite. That will cut your build-out price. But, yeah, the rent is going to be a little higher than what you predicted. But if you go in the salon suite, it exposes you to everybody in there. So if you have a soap line, a hair care line, a lotion line, massage care, if you're a hairstylist, a barber, whatever, that is a great way to start your business, okay? Is to go into those salon suites or go into something already pre-made, like a market. That would be the best way to launch, all right? Then, needless to say, if all else fails, and you don't want to start that big, let's hop it down to the next one. The next biggest is being a vendor. I call vendor businesses. That means you find events, you find different events to go to. You pay $75, $125, $200, $300, $400, $500 to become a vendor at these events, and you set your table up. You make sure your presentation is beautiful. You have your racks and you have your decorations and you do these vending events, okay? Those can be some of the best events. They could be some of the worst events, but everything is trial and error. You can have a storefront and be open for 30 days and not make a single dollar, but you can go to these vending events and you do a couple of them and have yourself on the schedule on multiple times. You can make a lot of money. People are like, oh, I don't want to have to lug all my stuff around, da, da, da. But, hey, it gets you the exposure that you want to. And if you have do the vending events and have a website business, that is really how you can grow into a storefront, all right? So making sure, Becoming a vendor helps you get that exposure. I think this is a great way of doing business. I think it's a great way to get yourself out there because it opens up the opportunity for people who you would never come in contact to see doing your business, you can present them, you can talk to them, you can stand out. There's a coffee company called Cola Coffee. They out here on the Beltline, you know, passing out free coffee to everybody. You know what I mean? I think that is an awesome way to expose yourself. You know, sometimes you got to give away some free stuff to get it, you know, but you have to go out there and push your stuff and tell people about your product. And when you do these vending events, you need to talk to people. Don't be sitting there at the vending events playing on your phone and not paying attention to people. If somebody walks up to your table, you just need to start talking about everything that's on your table, every product that you have. You need to be like, oh, yeah, this soap is for this. This soap is for that. If I touch the soap and you don't tell me, like today, I bought something from the girl. But I tell her, I'm sitting here smelling their soap. I was like, oh, they don't have any scents. She's like, oh, yeah, they're for sensitive skin. Boring. I'm like, so explain your product line to you. If I have to keep on asking you question after question about what does this one do, what does that one do, then it's kind of like I'm forcing myself to learn about your product. So when you are doing vending events, you need to teach people about your products. You need to engage people because I probably would have bought a lot more from her if she was just more engaging. If she just told me. Now there's another company down, lemonades made with brown sugar. They use brown sugar instead of white sugar to do their lemonades. Mango, peach, all kinds of flavors, right? So this day, when I walked up to her table, yes, these are all brown sugar made lemonades. These are organically made. Da, 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 da. We fresh squeeze our fruit and then we infuse it with the brown sugar that's not the regular sugar and it's a lemonade. So we have hand squeezed all of our lemonades. Da, 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 da. Now it's like, whew, that's a lot of work. And little jar, $7 for some lemonade. She's like 16 ounces for $7 worth of lemonade. Now, I buy one of those lemonades every time because I'm like, that's a lot of work to make some lemonade. If you ever made some homemade brown sugar agave lemonade, that takes some work, especially if you got mango flavor and it actually tastes like mango and peach flavor. It actually tastes like flavor and has a nice pretty label. So they went into the time to invest in their look, their whole everything. They made sure their bottles were nice glass, hard bottles, recyclable. You bring them back, you get some more. They gave you a discount if you bring 5 bottles back. Why do they do that? So that they don't have to continue to buy bottles. So those are little things that you can do to make people come back to your business. You know what I mean? So those are the things that you have to think about in your plan in launching your business and how you want to run your business. So that is like a vendor type business. So they go to all these vending farmers markets, little live farmers markets. You set your table up. You show people your brand. If they don't buy nothing, you give them your card. You just make the experience pleasurable. So then if they see you again, they'll buy from you. And they'll buy from you. You know what I mean? So you always have to make sure that you are selling yourself in your business, selling yourself to what you want to do, selling yourself in your presentation. That makes your business grow. Okay? So the next part of it is online business. Now, this is where my specialty comes in. I love doing online businesses. They're easy to launch. They're easy to go, but they still take money and marketing. Because, I mean, there's so many different ways you can do it. You can do an online business where you are managing, where you are you drop ship, you can do Amazon, you can do your own products, your custom line, you can have inventory, you cannot have inventory. I mean, there's so many ways to present an online business, and sometimes your cost can be low because if you're only purchasing your product to order, then that is better than you having to like purchase your product all the time. You know what I mean? And keep that product in stock. And so when you're purchasing your product to order, then it goes into that. So It's less trauma, it's less hassle, it's less everything when you're doing it on that way. So we're about to bring on our guest. We're going to talk to her more and get her input about, you know, she's an event planner, and the things you kind of need to organize when you're launching your business event, your special event, you're coordinating your event, because you always want that launch to be big and marketable so people can see it. So even if it's an online march or a storefront or any of those, make sure you launch your event where it can be very successful. So I'm about to bring her on right now. Let's bring her in. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I am fabulous. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, yes. So tell everybody your name and what do you do, and your name and what do you do?
Okay. Well, I am Teresa Sawyer, simply Teresa. I'm an event producer based in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm also an event therapist. So I am pretty much someone who has taken event planning and merged it with mental health and found a way to support our event and entertainment professionals. So that is what I do, event production as well as therapeutic support.
Wow. So explain how you put mental health and event planning in the same realm. Like, how does that work?
You know, I did that because as someone who is in the mental health world, we see so much that's going on. We've learned so much, and we also begin to learn how to identify our own emotions as well as our clients' emotions and our team members. And so with that being said, with event production, it's very high-stress industry. It's fast-paced industry. There's always something that is going on. So I wanted to develop something where we can support each other as event professionals, but we also had learned real tools and real tips and strategies that will help support us as well as support those who are around us. I mean, every profession needs to be addressed in mental health. And so when you are in an industry like event planning, event production, entertainment, though it brings smiles on everybody's faces, it can bring stress as well. So we need to know how to handle that stress.
Okay. So getting into like launching and planning a business launch for a startup or a new business, like what would what do you do to help them? Or what kind of businesses what kind of events do you plan? Let's start there.
Yeah. So we plan all types of events, but we primarily focus on those galas and those nonprofit organizations events that are going to be purposeful. We also do various parties such as, 30th birthday parties, 55th, whatever it may be. And also a lot of events are in the entertainment world as well. We worked on some concerts and things of that nature. For those who are looking to produce an event, the things that I talk to people about all the time and those who come to me is the beginning of everything, of launching a communication. It starts there, communicating with yourself before you can even communicate with those who are around you, so that you understand what you are all about and what you are doing in this industry. So that's I start there when I am coaching others on putting together their event, is making sure that they're able to self-identify before even putting it out there for the world to begin to get involved with.
Nice. So if you can give me 5 steps. I'm planning, just say I'm planning a business launch or a new nonprofit event for I have a client who has an event who has genetics. She has a nonprofit that goes with genetics, like, you know, making sure you test your genetics. So Behind the Genes is what it's called. So if you are about to plan this event, right, let's say 5 or 10 things, whatever comes to your head, the best, the fastest, about planning, what does she need to do even before we launch the event? What needs to happen?
Listen, before you even do anything, so I have a nonprofit charge up campaign, and I tell my team members all that. I mean, in the beginning, you have to develop a routine for yourself, a routine for yourself. Everything starts with you. Before you try to put together a project, a nonprofit event, whatever, for to support somebody else, you have to make sure that you're doing everything that you need to support yourself. So I always tell people, make sure that we are setting up a morning routine, an evening routine for ourselves, because things get crazy. So we want to be able to have a process that we are going through on a daily basis. The other is to create specific goals for yourself and for your business or for the event that you are, you know, that you're looking to launch. What is the purpose of it? There's three things. I actually just spoke in Boston about this. There's three things that we want to always make sure that we have covered. What is our passion? Why are we so passionate about this particular product or this particular event or this particular organization that we're producing for? What is our purpose in it? What is our purpose for ourselves? And then two, do we understand and do we know our power? When you understand those three pieces of the pie, everything else will begin to fall in line the way that it needs to. So creating specific goals and then knowing those things as well. Also creating boundaries for yourself, boundaries that you can keep. Sometimes those who are in the event profession or those who are looking to produce their own event, sometimes you lose sight of boundaries. And if you want to reduce stress, Event Therapy Network talks about stress all the time. If you want to reduce stress, you have to increase your or be hyper-vigilant about your boundaries and make sure that you are keeping your own boundaries. That is, I think, is really, really huge, and it goes back to what I said earlier with the communication. Also, normalizing your feelings, normalizing the feelings that, yes, everything does not go right or as planned all the time. It doesn't. I mean, period.
Never.
I've been doing this for never. I've been doing this for a very long time, and there are things that don't go right, but the thing is, how are you responding to that? I talk about what we call event time. You know, an event warfare is simply miscommunication, just not organized. And when I say miscommunication, a lot of times that's even with yourself because you don't know what your passion is. You don't know why you're passionate about this. You don't know what your purpose is, and you have forgotten that you have power in it. And so, you know, that leads to a disaster at times. But it's about how you respond to it. So you have to be able to normalize those feelings of, hey, I don't feel right, and then be able to build a kick-ass team that can help you make sure that things get on track or go how it needs to go. Also, I would say become more self-aware or become self-aware and identify who you are as you build and grow your business. I talk about that in my book, 10 Steps to Ultimate Event Planning. I talk about that as one of the keys to just being a business owner is self-identification. Oftentimes people get in business and you see what Jim, Jan, John, and Tyrone are doing, and then you think that you're supposed to be doing those same things. But if you understand your purpose and who you are and what you're doing and you're able to identify, then you will recognize that what they are doing may not necessarily be exactly what you need to be doing. So you have to be careful about the comparison, and that's everybody, myself included. We all do that from time to time, but we have to make sure that we wheel ourselves back in to who we are and identify with that. Because at the end of the day, we all are unique in this industry. And even if you're not an event planner or event producer or someone like that, but you're looking to produce an event, number one, I would say find someone who is a professional who can help you with it. But remember that you are unique. So what makes you unique? What makes you different from Jim, Jan, you know, Tyrone, and whoever else? What is your uniqueness, you know?
Exactly.
I don't know if you can curse on this show or something, but I have, you know.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, like, the other thing is, like, handle your shit and embrace your shit. That's one thing I've learned for myself is that you have to handle it. You know, things go wrong, like we said before, but if you don't handle that thing and if you don't learn from it, then guess what's going to happen? It's going to happen over and over and over again. And that's just not in event planning. That's for business. In general, as business owners, you have to be able to handle your shit and embrace the shift that will happen once you begin to handle those things. How many more? Let me see. Include yourself in your plan. I heard you talk about building a business plan earlier, right? So
right.
In the same book that I'm talking that I mentioned before, 10 Steps to Ultimate Event Planning, we talk about building your business plan. But I take it farther because I feel like as entrepreneurs, as people who are in business, we all know that we need to build a business plan. But how many of us are building a me first plan? How many of us are building a personal development plan for ourselves? Because business is can get tough, but we have to be tougher, right? We have to be tougher than the business.
Yes.
So you have to build a plan. So I would tell people to build a plan for yourself. And even if you are been in business 30 years and you've never done it before, do it now. You know, we're always a student of our profession. We're always a student of life. So we have to start wherever we are regardless. And, again, all of this kind of goes back to that number one thing of communication, I believe. And communication starts with what you tell yourself about you as a business owner or as about you as someone who's producing the next event or launching a product. I heard you talk about being a vendor at various events. You know, it's all about the communication. Do you know that you can sell at that event? You know, you manifest that thing, you know? And so, you know, those are just some of the things that I would say. I know that was a lot, but those are some of the things that I would say to those who are building a business or in the event profession.
Nice, nice. Yes, that was a lot, but it all made sense and it all worked together with what I, you know, what the whole focus is. When you're starting a business, launching a business, you need to have that plan. You need to be able to communicate with, like you said, yourself and everybody involved. I've worked with so many people who had issues with employees or people not doing right. And then I asked them, I'm like, who trained them? Oh, I did. Oh, so why are they acting like this if you trained them? Well, did they know about this before they even started? Did they even know? And that's
right.
The big thing. It's like, no, they really didn't know, but they've been here this long. They should know. Oh, okay. You tell you how well that works? It doesn't.
Right.
So I need you to sit back, and before you start yelling to people about what they're doing wrong, you need to evaluate if you have told them the right way to get it. I have an assistant. Sometimes I look ahead, I'm like, you don't know how to do this. And then I have to stop and I'll be like, no, let's rewind. Okay, this is how we do it. You know, this is how we do that.
Sometimes we have to check ourselves.
Yeah, because my thing is like, I've been doing it for a while, but that doesn't mean she does it how I do it. Not that what she's doing is wrong, but this is my business and I like to do how I do it. But so it's just making sure you understand, you know, their perspective. But sometimes I like to let people, you know, do it their way, because sometimes we get so caught up in our own business that we don't think about how, you know, different ways it could be done. So somebody could have a better way of doing it, and now I'm like, oh, okay, that works just as good. And sometimes that has happened, like she's done stuff and I'm like, oh yeah, that works so much better than what I was thinking, so go with that. That's a major part of it. But when you're communicating with your employees, with your event planner, you really need to know what you want. It's almost like, I built websites and everything else for businesses. And when you get somebody building a website, it's almost just as bad as building an event. Because I've helped people do that too. And I'm not an event planner, but I'm a jack of all trades. So I've helped people plan out an event. And they're like, I'm like, so what do you want to happen at your event? Do you want games? Do you want a speaker? Do you want a DJ? Do you want food? Do you want drinks? And they're like, what? Huh?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Why do I need all of that? No, you don't. I don't know what you want. You know?
Right.
You don't need none of it.
You know, some people don't know exactly what it is that they want, you know, but, you know, oftentimes they know what they kind of want. They just want you to kind of verify what it is that they want, and that can be difficult at times.
That can be, because you still have to give me an idea of what you want so that I can, you know, tell you how to enhance it. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
So right. I would love to tell you how to enhance it if I know where you're going with it. But if I don't know where you're going, and sometimes what I've learned in the website building side of it is you have to, sometimes I just put something together and throw it out there and be like, you like this? They'll be like, oh, no, I don't like this. Good. And now you're ready to talk. Now you it's like a forest.
Yeah, people know what they don't like.
Right.
If they don't know what they like, they definitely know what they don't like. They definitely know that. I think it's a confidence issue, too.
Yes. Yes. And that's one of my major things that I speak upon in this is confidence, consistency, and communication and planning.
Yeah,
those are my biggest things that I force out there in the universe. Like, have the confidence. You got balls to be on your own, have your own business, be the balls to say how you want things to be done. You know what I mean? And
know what
you want. Believe in yourself. You know what I mean? And that all comes with confidence. Then have the consistency to keep pushing and keep that idea rolling at all points of time.
Right.
Just push it. No matter if one person is watching or three people are watching or five people are watching, keep pushing it. I would like, you know, everybody wants 1 million viewers, but you don't get those overnight. Nobody's gotten those overnight. Most people, the crazy part is people get famous. And all of a sudden, you have 1 million viewers. But it took them years before they got there. And people think that they just started like that. It doesn't happen like that. You don't just start like that.
Yeah,
you know
it definitely
I mean?
Doesn't go like that at all. We all have to go. We all go through challenges in business. And it's all about how we look at those challenges. You have to begin to look at them like, okay, this is a challenge. It's something I'm learning from. This is what's helping me to gain knowledge about my profession or about whatever it is that I'm doing. We all go through that. But if you continue to work off of that passion, talking about that passion that you have, then you will, you know, you will make it work, and you can be consistent because you have to be consistent. And, you know, when you were talking about team, that's so important, you know, for those who can afford employees, or if you can get interns, or if you can get people who believe in your vision or believe in your project to work with you. It is so important. I always say it's so important for you to listen as the leader.
Yes.
All these leaders out here, you know, we tell people do this, do this, do that, but we have to pull back and follow sometimes and really listen to what they're saying, because they oftentimes they're looking from the outside in and can see a lot of things that you don't see because you're so in it. So I think it's important. It's important to listen to your team and to build a team. Because I think, you know, one of the quickest ways to fall in business, not fail, but to fall in business, is to try to do everything on your own within your business.
Right.
You know, you're trying to be the accountant, you're trying to be the lawyer, you're trying to be the marketer, you're trying to be the graphic designer. And sometimes we have to do that in the beginning because we're solopreneurs and, you know, we're trying to build it up. But we have to figure out how to bring interns in or whatever the resources are out there, find those resources so that we can reduce the stress that we're putting on ourselves. But we can also really focus in on what it is that we're really wanting to do so that we don't find ourselves, you know, doing everything and doing everything but nothing at the same time.
Yes, tell me.
That oftentimes happens.
I have been doing that for years. Years upon years. And at certain points, it's like, if you want to scale, you have to have somebody else. Because, again, I have multiple entities to make money. Like, I have my Airbnbs. I do I do this podcast. I have an online store. I have, you know, my educational side of it. So, and then I'm a graphic designer. That's my main bread and butter, right? So, for me to even focus on the stuff that Unique likes to do, I actually had to, like I said, get somebody to help me focus on my project. Now she doesn't work on my stuff. I don't even have her really working on of the other stuff that I have. I have her working on my stuff so that we can be focused on that kind of stuff. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? On my stuff. So somebody's actually pushing my stuff out there. It's not just me. So that is the biggest
yeah.
thing. Like, it was so hard because I would try to allocate time for myself. Oh, these 2 hours are just for me today. But it never works like that because when your other clients who's paying you money is actually giving you the money mm-hmm. right now, you got to talk to them first.
Right.
Like it's like the people who have a job and work and run your business on the side. You have to talk. You got to go to work first, and then you run your business mm-hmm. until it gets where you need it to be and making the money that you want to. If my business is growing successfully, yes. But at the same time, you need help. You cannot, like I tell everybody, this is my favorite line. I'm going to put this on a shirt one day. There's never been a Fortune 500 company with one employee.
Right.
No Fortune 500 company has one employee. So if you want to be in that millionaire bracket, even those people if you see online, they have these funnel sites, do you believe that they have a marketing team, they have a web designer, they have a graphic designer, and then they have an assistant to help them through funneling teams. And then sometimes you don't even get to talk to the person who's actually in these videos doing these funnels. All you're doing is talking to their representative. You're talking to their aide.
Right.
So you got to pay that person the big, big, big bucks to actually talk to the person who you see in the video who sold you the thing.
Right.
And most people
exactly.
don't even understand. You think when you go to these Tony Robbins things, Tony Robbins, I mean, sometimes Tony Robbins be there, but sometimes they don't even be there. They don't even
yeah.
be there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but they're the face of this event. So that's the kind of things that you have to grow into and build your business and build the idea of how you want to grow and launch your business and what do you want that to look like. So is there any other mm-hmm. tips out there, anything else you want to, you know, we have some time. We did a little extra long
yeah.
today, I see. But if you, I mean, again, it was only 30 minutes that we had you scheduled for, but I have some extra time on the clock. So if you want to talk about anything else in your business or anything else about your business or find that lovely book you were telling everybody about, you know, please let everybody know.
Yeah, of course, of course. I would definitely say, like, you know, if for those who especially would like to produce events or look into, you know, work with an event planner, but you don't really understand what the steps are, definitely check out that book that I was speaking of, Event Therapy, 10 Steps to Ultimate Event Planning. Those are 10 steps that you can kind of look at of what we do to get prepared to be your best advocate in the event world. So definitely come, you know, connect with us to get that book. I can actually put it in your link on the Facebook channel. But also, we've been talking about teamwork and, you know, making sure that you build something that's consistent and build something that you can grow with. We also have another book called, you know, How to Build a Kick-Ass Team. And the reason why we call it that is because, and this is actually something that I did during the pandemic with my team because, you know, it was a lot going on, but also nothing going on at the same time. And we wanted to do something together, but we also wanted to educate people on how to build a team that's working for one another, that's working for the better of the clients that we are serving. And so we have that as well, and it's going to be on that same website that I share with you. For those who are just looking to build a business, one of the things that I would like to share is take care of yourself. You know, at the end of the day, when we are launching businesses and we're launching events and products and all these different things, it can be taxing. It could be good taxing if you allow it to be good taxing, right?
Right.
And the way to allow these things to be good taxing is to take care of yourself. Is to take care of yourself. Develop some self-care strategies that you can use that's for you. And that's why I said early on about developing a routine for yourself. And to also, I didn't say this, but to also schedule yourself into your day. As business owners, as entrepreneurs, we are on the go. Sometimes I feel like people, if you're an entrepreneur, you work from home, people just think you're at home. You're not
right.
just at home. you're working. And but while you're working, you have to make sure that you schedule time in for yourself. That is key, and that's where, that's also communicating with your body and communicating with yourself so that you can be ready and ready for that millionaire status. If you want to get to that millionaire status, you got to be here for it. You got to be here for it.
Yes.
So
healthy mind and body.
Yep, exactly. Healthy mind, body, soul, your spirit, all those things. You have to take care of you in order to build a healthy business. So even with event therapy, we work off of three pillars, and those pillars are your mental and your physical health. Secondly is your business wellness and your financial security. And then thirdly is intentional social networking and relationship building. All of these work for the good of your business. Your business health, we want to make sure, instead of trying to do everything ourselves, that we're finding others who are authentic, who are real, which is the same thing, but who are authentic and who know their job to help you in your job and what it is that you're doing. So that's going to help you, I believe, to be successful in the now and successful in reaching that millionaire status. And we talk about that in our magazine. I have a magazine called Event Therapy Mag, and we have real life stories in there from those who are not just event professionals, but those who are in corporate, who are in, you know, physical health, whatever, that can talk to us about what we need to do for ourselves to ensure that we can be successful in our business and also in our personal lives. Those, if you got to make sure that you're taking care of yourself. And my team members, they put a lot of focus on me to make sure that the things that I'm teaching other people, that I'm doing for myself. So those are the type of people that you have to have around you as business professionals, and especially as those who are in this event and entertainment industry, because it can be a lot, and you want to make sure you're taking care of yourself. And that's why I say that a lot. So to connect with me, you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn at SC Visionary Services. That's my event planning business, or eventtherapynetwork.com. Both of those, you can learn about what we're doing. You can find our products, our affirmation classes, all of those things. And you can also learn about my nonprofit Charge Up Campaign. And we'll share more information with you later about Charge Up Campaign so that you guys could be available to support those who have been dealing with cancer and their caregivers as well.
Nice. That is awesome. Appreciate you. So anything, link, share, put your links in, mm-hmm. in the comments below. Please share this with anybody that would like to hear it or need to hear it or want, you know, you need to present it to somebody. Just I try like and share. We're going to do the same thing with you, like and share it out there to mm-hmm. everybody so that we can be successful in yep. your business. Everybody, make sure y'all click her link, share her information with anybody who needs an event. Needs a mental health event. She works with nonprofits. Like, support each other. If you can, if you can't host an event, share her business to somebody who can. That's just as helpful. So I really, really, really appreciate you coming on. Thank you for taking the time out for being here tonight. And I hope you have a great evening.
No, thank you so much. Appreciate you as well. And I will definitely make sure that we are sharing whatever it is that you're doing, connect with me. Let's just stay connected and stay, you know, informed with what we are doing each separately so that we can continue to support each other.
Yeah, because any events you have going on, invite me. I'm ready to go. If you ever need a sidebar speaker talking about business or planning, you know, mm-hmm. I'm here. So just keep me in mind on anything that you may have going on. I'm always here. I'm always available. And willing to, you know, share my knowledge with everybody out there. But my goal is to help as many people as I possibly can to be successful so we can be on that beach naked.
Honey, you know what?
That
I see the background. You put, you have limitless.
Goal. Huh?
Limitless and execution behind you. I see that. I love it.
Yes. That is the goal. That's my ultimate goal, the beach naked. And when I say that, it doesn't mean, it doesn't have to be literal, but it means if you have enough confidence and you have enough freedom to be able to walk around the beach butt naked, that means you got some things going on for you, right?
That's
no
right.
No worries
That's
in
right.
the world at this point. You got a nice body. You get confident. You love yourself. And we're doing big things. And everybody got money because we're all eating good and drinking good, you know. So
That's
I appreciate
right.
you coming on. And sharing your knowledge with everybody who's watching and listening on my network, and we'll be happy to, and we'll continue to share this to everybody out there. So thank everybody for watching, and thank you. I'll talk to you later, okay?
Thank you. Have a good night.
Bye-bye. So, yes, great. Please like and follow her. Carissa Sawyer at eventtherapynetwork.com. On IG, she's on Facebook, she's on any platform, all of LinkedIn, all of the platforms. Make sure you click that link. If you're my Facebook friends, we'll actually repost that on the YouTube and the Blog Talk as well. So wherever you're listening to me at, you will be able to hear it. Please like and share to anybody who needs an event, want an event, and needs to know anything about, you know, event planning. If you need help planning your business, y'all make sure y'all pick up y'all business planner. Make sure you have one of these. This is in the third quarter. We're hitting the third quarter. Make sure you pick up your third quarter planner. Pick it up on Amazon. Hit DM me if you want a copy of it. This is what you need to plan it. This has all the pages you need to plan every day of the 90 days in this event. It is thick. It has motivational, has color, has inspiration. It is just everything that you need to get your mind, body, and soul right for your business. So make sure you guys pick up one of these. It's on Amazon right now. And if you have problems with removing negative people or negative images out your body, make sure you pick up my book by Pookie. It's a great book for you to pick that up. It's called By Pookie. It's called about removing, it's about removing all the negative people. Sometimes even you're the negative person within yourself, removing that thought process out of your life so that you can open up and be the most successful person that you are, the most successful thing that you are, and just to open your eyes up to the reality that you are whomever you want to be. Whoever you want to be. I don't know who you are, but you are whoever you want to be when you want to be it. And let's make this money. Let's get to this dough, and let's all get to this beach naked, guys. All right. Okay. I can't be bought out there by myself. I need somebody to put some lotion on my back. You know what I mean? So I want somebody to drink with and laugh and giggle with too. So, hey, let's go out. Let's have fun. Let's drink and be merry. And have a great Wednesday. I appreciate all you guys for listening in tonight. And you have a great day. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.